need to play 40 minutes a night. I'm good playing 20, 22 minutes a night, and I'll share, keyword share, I'll share the other time with Rodman. Mm-hmm. That's when we took off. Mm-hmm. That's when we started dominating the league. And because Rodman, defensively, rebounding-wise, he was doing stuff that nobody had seen before.
Yeah.
If Mark was a selfish player, Mark is saying, no, I got to get my 26, I got to get my 27 points, I got to get my minutes, so forth and so on. Now, the big picture, right, Mark Aguirre has not been rewarded for being an NBA champion, back-to-back NBA champion.
Yeah.
Mark Aguirre would have been rewarded on a Hall of Fame stage had he stayed in Dallas Yes. and averaged 27 points and lost in the Western Conference Finals Right. every year.
Yeah.
Right? This is the cruel sacrifices of winning that sometimes comes along with winning. You have to make some sacrifices. And if Mark don't show up, Rodman never becomes Rodman. We never become the back-to-back champions Yeah. that we became. And it's not because Mark Aguirre came in and averaged 27 points. It's because Mark Aguirre came and helped one of his teammates be better.
Made that puzzle be whole.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, of course, we crazy Bulls fans just being in Illinois.
So was I.
But
had to give it to him.
But just loving basketball and knowing the game, I feel like y'all team is one of the most underrated teams, if not the most underrated champions in the league to me, because I feel like, you know, when them Celtics and them Lakers and the Chicago came along, people just tend to forget about these two championships at the roughest time possible that you came and pulled through. You fought adversity. Like, speak about the surroundings, like how a lot of people didn't want Detroit to win a championship. Definitely not no back-to-back championships, and definitely not against the Lakers or beat the Celtics at this time. So how rebellious y'all was and how much it meant at a time where all you seeing is Celtic championships, or you might get a 76ers here, or then you got a Lakers championships, but then Detroit come in and plant their flag, you know, in them 80s Yeah. years to...
What we represented, the league did not want to see. And what I mean by that is we were the team that was rising, but we was also the team that was talking about race, class, and gender. Not only did we have a sports and basketball agenda, but we also had a political agenda
Yeah.
along with our winning. So when you started having those conversations and talking about, you know, stereotypes, race, class, and then at that time I was the vice president of the union, then became president of the union. So the Pistons, when you look back through history, we were the first team to, A, change the color of our uniform, because there was only one color of jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
We started wearing the silver and black. We made the connection with the Raiders. So we started showing up in silver and black, you know,
Yeah.
warm-up. You know, they were warm-up shirts,
Yeah.
but there was no such thing as a warm-up shirt back then.
Yeah.
Then we played with, you know, our label, so to speak. So instead of it being the Pistons gear, we took the skull and crossbones and put it on the basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So we started doing different things with the logo, and then we upgraded the hotels. We're not staying in three-star hotels no more. We're going to stay in five-star hotels, which forced the league now to say to the other teams, those other owners, okay, well, we got to upgrade the living conditions.
Yeah.
Now, I know what I'm doing in terms of being in the union and how this is going to affect benefits, hotels, travel. We were the first team to have our own team plane.
Mm-hmm.
We called it Round Ball One. So instead of us going to the airports, we started chartering. Then we started staying in better hotels. Now, the NBA followed all of that. They like to say that, and this is no knock on the Celtics or the Lakers. I'm just spitting facts.
Yeah.
And you can always go back and research.
It's Googleable.
Yeah, to see what I'm saying
Googleable.
Is true. It's Googleable. So when you look at the 80s, the highest rated games of the 80s, Pistons versus Lakers, Pistons versus Celtics, Pistons versus Bulls. Now, all those things have one thing in common. And that's the Detroit Pistons.
Detroit Pistons.
Now, those teams played against each other, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, but those weren't the highest rate of games. And when you talk about where the league moved from in 85 to 90 in terms of the growth of the league, you can look at the merchandise that the Pistons were selling. You can look at the crowds that we were drawing and the TV ratings. I give the Celtics and the Lakers a lot of respect for what they did in the 80s. Mm-hmm. But there was another team that really helped that curve too.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't the Lakers and the Celtics.
Yeah.
The biggest crowds that watched the basketball game, those were happening at the Silver Dome in Detroit, where we was putting 60,000 in, 40,000 in, 50,000 in. And by the way, those 60, 40, 50, they won against the Lakers or the Celtics.
Yeah.
Or the Bulls.
Yeah. Yeah. And another, I can say I was a part of one part where, you know, it's Googleable, where I feel like you impacted a change in the league. When we was with the Knicks, when you started making us wear suits head mm-hmm. to toe, we like people talk about the dress code, and you know, I feel like all of us that played there, we feel like it was a direct answer to what we were doing, because obviously the league offices and everybody there are at all of the Knicks game every time. So anytime we assemble for anything, you getting on the bus, you getting on the plane, anything as a team, full suit, tie.
You're gonna be dressed
and we was hot. Like, man, where's Zeke on, man? This man, like, we had, man, people had to go get in their pockets, go get some suits and all this. You in New York City, you can't be looking crazy.
I'm talking about, you got that suit on now, boy.
Then, like, the thing that was crazy, because it was like, literally, we did that year one. Mm-hmm. The next year, they implemented a league wide, and we was like, yeah. We was like, well, the rules that they even put the league on weren't even as firm as ours. So we was like, this don't matter. I can literally remember when I left and went to the Heat, I was like, man, this is the first time in like 4 years that I ain't got to wear a full suit. Like, for real. I had so many. So I was like, this is crazy, man. But like, that was 100%.
I remember
direct effect. Like, we did it and then they did it, because they was like, you know, it didn't matter. They was like, look how y'all, because that was a Zeke thing. So, because we used to be, you know, hell, he like,
y'all,
man, he like,
good, look, though,
y'all
man.
Look good. Y'all ready for whatever. He like, y'all don't want to hear this from me. He like, but y'all look good. He like, y'all don't.
The whole league look good. I remember laughing at him the year before, like, boy, y'all buying all them suits and all that stuff. And I'm giving them a hard time, and then the next year they changed the rule. Yeah. So I got to go and go to the same person and make my order for my 10 suits and my walkers and all that stuff. One of the questions I wanted to ask you, like, you and Joe Dumars is one of the best 1 and 2 in the history of the game. You see 1 and 2s out here now. You see Steph and Clay.
Love Steph and Clay.
You see Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You see these guys. To see that combination, because that was one of the things I loved about the old Pistons team, you and Joe Dumars. Yeah, you had all them guys that was rough and tough and rebounding and doing all this stuff. But you and Joe was like something or other. Speak about the relationship with you and Joe and how y'all got the chemistry to kind of feed off each other. Because I used to look at the game and the looks y'all used to give each other. Like, oh, it's your time? Oh, it's my time. It's you know what I'm saying? And to see it now in the game today where you got, you know, Steph and Clay having so much success as, you know, leading the team, being the 1 and 2. And Dame and CJ having the success they have of going to the playoffs every year. And it's, they might need that one player like McGuire came in to put them over the hump. Mm-hmm. Look at what Dame doing now. He's going on a tear right now.
Again, to me, I measure everything about, can you win and perform and play in a championship? Right. Mm-hmm. And not just play in the championship, but can you win? Do you have the mentality to walk up in the arena in somebody else's building? Do you have the nerve to snatch that person's heart and
punch
win
him
the
in
game?
The face, straight up.
And, you know, we use punch in the face analogies, but we don't really mean punch in the face.
Yeah.
But we mean our mentality
yeah.
our energy is going to make you feel like we done punch you in the face. You know how you walk into a restaurant and let's say we on the court and we playing, right? And it can be 10 people that walk in. And we like, we good. But then there's one guy that show up on the court and we like, I think we got to go. Right. Now, that dude ain't said nothing, but you feel his vibe. You feel his energy. So we tried to put that energy into the opponent. And Joe and I, when we walked out on the floor, we wanted to every single night prove that we were better than you, offensively and defensively. And by the way, if one of us was in trouble defensively, then we would come and help.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's like we used to always say, okay, we ain't gonna let Jordan get 50 on you. But he did.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know? Right.
Yeah.
But at least we had the mentality yeah. that, okay, I'm coming to help.
Yeah.
Now, when I get over there, I may not be able to do nothing.
Yeah.
But at least when you turned around and he scored on you,
you see all now.
You looking at your teammate saying, yeah. okay, I ain't by myself.
He ain't scored 50 on just you.
He scored 50 on us.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the way it was. Now, everybody else, you know, our mentality was like, we coming in not to score on you. We coming in to shut you down. Because if this is what you like to do, we're not going to let you do that. You're going to have to do something else to beat us. And you're going to have to do it for a long period of time. And the odds are, if I make you do something a long period of time that you're not used to doing, and I get to do what I want to do,
like that.
Then I'm going to beat you. And then you're going to be mad at me. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to keep beating you because I'm not going to let you do what you want to do. And that's the approach that we had coming into the game to play.
You win a championship, you be rebellious. They don't want the Detroit Pistons to win a championship. The Dream Team come up, and all my favorite players on this Dream Team.
Yeah.
And I'm just as pissed off as you about you not making that Dream Team. But you didn't make it, and so far we move on, and then you make the Hall of Fame. Then they announce you top 50's greatest of all time history. That Hall of Fame and that top 50th player of the history, what did that mean to you?
None of us wake up or start playing basketball and say, oh, man, I'm going to make it to the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Or I'm going to be one of the top 50
right,
players
right.
to ever play.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't even – I mean, just that's not even like a thought.
You didn't
yeah.
even think that was
yeah.
a thing.
And
that's a hope.
not even a hope. You
it didn't
I mean,
exist
and,
at the time.
Yeah, it's like – and then when they say you made that, right – and for a little dude like me, I mean, y'all big, right?
Yeah.
I know y'all. I walk in the room now, and y'all look at me, and I look at y'all like, damn, there's some big.
Straight up.
You know? But being a little dude, and then being honored or selected, you know, it to me it was just mind blowing because I never thought that I would be on that stage. Or could be what I became in the game of basketball. I really was just playing. And the majority of the time I was playing because that's where the food was.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, you play for this guy, you know, after the game, he gonna buy you a hot dog.
Yeah.
You know, that coach ain't got no money. You can't play
yeah,
with
can't
him.
Play. We ain't
you know,
eating after the game. I can't
eat, yeah. So, but you never thought like Hall of Fame, top 50, you know, and, you know, when you mentioned like the Dream Team, did I want to be a part of that? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But when I wasn't picked, you know, it was like, okay, it hurt
yeah.
deep. But at the same time, I still rooted for the USA
yeah,
to win.
Of course.
And I watched every game,
yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. and I was looking at it like, man, I could have been playing, right? You know, you mm-hmm. still you still fantasizing and still wanting to be. But after a week went by, I wasn't bitter no more. It was like, if you haven't had that experience, which all of us have had,
yeah.
trying to make a team. Mm. Remember they used to write your name?
Right.
You know, and you see if you made the
team.
And, you know, sometimes you didn't make the team.
Yeah.
Or you was on that second piece of paper.
Yeah.
Well, that's how I looked at the Dream Team situation. It's like, okay, well, I didn't make the team, but I rooted for everybody who was on the team. Like, I couldn't look at that team and say, oh, well, Stockton the scrub, he shouldn't be on the team. I couldn't do that because he's not.
Don't worry. We did that
no,
for
no,
you.
No, but
I feel
you.
I feel no,
no but
dude,
I'm
all
saying,
due respect. I mean, I'm grown now. I'm adult, and I play in the league, so I respect it different. But
yeah.
I'm just saying, when it happened, and when we was at the crib.
Yeah, we had all emotions.
Like, wait a minute.
Yeah, we had all emotions.
And Shaq was supposed to be on there instead
yeah.
of Leighton. So
yeah.
those were the two little asterisks, but you know.
But we had all emotions.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
at the same time, those were, you mean, Stockton is a Hall of Fame player.
Yeah. And I respect and I got great like, respect I don't, for him. I don't feel the same as I you did know? As a kid, as an adult. Now.
As
a,
yeah. So I had the privilege of being a little older and also had won some championships.
Mm-hmm.
So while I may have been bitter and may have been disappointed, it didn't lead me to hate.
Hate.
You know,
yeah.
like, oh, man. Like, I wanted Magic and them to win. I wanted yeah. And then I mentioned Magic, right? For Magic to be a part of that team after being out of the league with HIV mm-hmm. and having his career cut so short, I look back at that and I say, hey, you know, I probably wouldn't have had the fortitude to say, hey, I'm going to step back and let Magic mm-hmm. be.
Yeah.
I was happy that the basketball gods
chose
said,
it that way.
Isaiah, let Magic have his stage instead of you.
Yeah.
You know, during that period of time, you probably couldn't think that way, but now that I'm older, yeah. right, and I can look back and say, that moment, while it would have been good for me, letting Magic have that shine, letting Magic be that, what it did for him and what it did for the basketball community. And HIV and everything else, oh, that was way bigger than Isaiah Thomas not making. Yeah, so it was like the basketball guys have a way of working things out. And at the end of the day, Magic being in that spot instead of me being in that spot was the right thing for the basketball community.
Well, I wasn't old enough to cuss yet, but, you know, when they announced we
That's were, all right. My mama was cursing
we,
for
yeah, you. When they announced that they was going to put NBA players in it, and it's just like, you just won championships. And
no one at that time had won more than Magic, Bird, and I.
And you. And like
Jordan had just won his first championship.
Exactly. And it was just like, you know, when you read off the list and, you know, we watch these All-Star games and stuff, it was like, man, they got everybody right except for the one person yeah. that we all wanted to be in, especially us being from Illinois. Like, I wanted it so much. I wanted to just see you and Mike on yeah. the court. I wanted to see you and Magic on the court. I wanted to see you play with Bird.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because you see these wars and they don't realize it's really a brotherhood at the end of the day. And, yeah. and to see how them guys have fun, it was just like you was the missing link to that. And I was real disappointed.
Yeah. I was disappointed too. but I also look at it and I say, you know, what that team represented. And now that we're all older, we do understand politics.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think the political structure of that team, you know, you had to have some diversity,
yeah.
right? And it was a very diverse team, a well-put-together team, and it really did hit all the bases that needed to be covered. But again, for me, now that I'm a little older and I can look back and I can say, hey, man, that moment for Magic Johnson being on that stage with that yeah. flag around him,
mm-hmm.
not only did we need that, he needed that.
Yeah.
And if I had to be the
sacrificial lamb,
then cool.
I agree with that. Speaking on your relationship with Magic, one of the best moments I feel like I had and saw on TV when y'all did the sit down with NBA TV and y'all yeah. came back together. Like, and I look at it like this, for me, I'm sure like you too, we grew up, you know, idolizing y'all, looking at y'all. So when I'm sitting there, I'm looking at y'all cry, I damn near was crying. I'm like, yeah. fuck is going on? Keep tighten up, like, say it with
right,
your chest.
Right,
but
right,
I'm like,
right.
damn, I'm like, you know what I'm saying? But I'm like, but I, you know, I'm sure anybody that saw it could feel, you know what I'm saying, the raw emotion. Like, how was that for you, just being able to come full circle and get back locked in with Magic like that?
It was a beautiful moment for me and him. It just goes to show you the power of compassion and forgiveness. And the lesson that I think he and I both learned, that I hope we show to the world, is that there's two things. A, you always got to talk. Whenever there's a third party in the middle whispering in somebody's ear and you don't talk to your friend, mm-hmm. then it gets muddy. Mm-hmm. I think the power of us coming together, he and I didn't truly understand the power of our friendship to the y'all generation, exactly. The generation under. When you're going through this, you're really only thinking about yourself, but you're not thinking about what your relationship and friendship means to the world.
Yeah.
That we weren't in that space. And to have that moment and then walk out of that moment and have people come up to you in the airport, you know, hey, man, I'm so glad you and Magic, you know, had a chance to sit down and talk. That did me so much good. I went back and I called my friend from grade school that I hadn't talked to in years. You know, I had a conversation with him. You know, any place we went, in any place that I go now, that conversation has opened up so many doors. And, you know, just not knowing and understanding the power of our friendship, it's like we all hug now, right? Back in the 80s, men couldn't hug.
Nah, you get that
fire. Yeah, you had to give them that stale handshake, and you know, but you can hug your family member. So Magic and I, we hug, we kiss, whatever, and that was like a big deal. Now you watch an NBA game. Before every game, guys are like, you know,
nah, all the handshake, all the handshake, yeah, all that stuff. But,
so breaking down all those barriers, you didn't realize what you were doing and how important it was to people. So that was a big moment, and I couldn't be more happier for him, watching him just rise back up and be on top. Mm-hmm. And D-Miles, you can appreciate this, and you know, to get knocked down at the zenith of your career with a physical injury or what happened to him,
yeah.
Where you on top. I mean, it happened to you with your knees where you just like, you wake up one morning and your body ain't the same, and you're not on top of the mountain anymore. Yeah. So what the NBA community and the basketball community allowed Magic to do is get back up. And now he's back on his pedestal.
Yeah.
You know, it was important for me to come here today. Q asked me, like, you know, can you come? When? What time? How long?
Yeah.
You know, change my flight, whatever. But to be able to sit here with both of you and to see what the basketball community is still doing for you and for Q. Like I said to Q, and I said, hey, don't lose this job now.
Hey, we in the studio. We
in the studio.
Hey, look. Look at us. Look what we doing. Like, hey, you don't want to mess this up.
Yeah, keep it light. Ain't no. So, but I mean, that's what we supposed to do. And that, so when you talk about a brotherhood, the brotherhood is really supposed to be the brotherhood. Like, yeah. We supposed to look out. We supposed to help.
Yeah.
And you can look at any team that I've been on or represented or been a part of, there is always some Chicago people.
I never said
that. Chicago, Detroit is always represented because that's where I come from.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I represent.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't have Chicago or Detroit around me, then something ain't right.
Yeah,
I'm in the wrong
spot.
What's
going on. You know?
Hey, this is one of the things that I always, like, looking back, that I thought about. I've even talked to, you know, some of my guys. We talked about it. And I feel like you don't get enough credit for, like, when you were as a president and, you know, VP, at, you know what I'm saying, a draft, picked the draft, and you did.
Because
I feel like even in some of your, you know, free agent signings and stuff like that, in my opinion, you went and got the people that were sometimes the throwaways or sometimes the people that weren't being believed in or being doubted. Like, even in drafting, I can remember you drafting Nate, you know what I'm saying, Ronaldo, Balkman, Wilson, all guys that at the time, it was, what the fuck is that? Like, you know what I'm saying? I can remember specifically with Wilson when he declared.
Yeah.
The AD called me like, oh, my God, like, I don't know what is he doing? Like, they not even saying. Then it was like, he didn't work out, and then it was like he came to us, and still right now, having a long, good career in the NBA. I swear, I was just talking about it the other day. We playing in the season. We playing, watching the NCAA tournament, la, la, la. You watch Kentucky lose. Now, Randolph Morris is in college playing. They lose, and the next week, we sign him to the New York Knicks. Some loophole or whatever that Zeke found, and I was just like, I feel like he don't get enough credit for a lot of the stuff, you know what I'm saying, a lot of the moves and stuff, you know what I'm saying, drafting Stoudemire, Camby, and them boys over there. We know. Yeah. Even the guys that he, you know what I'm saying, that you signed to deals from Indiana to the Knicks, all of the moves, I feel like, what made you be able to see and ignore that and say, I don't care what they saying or what's being said about them, you see what you saw, and you did what you did.
I always approach the draft asking this question: can this person play in a championship game and win, right? And what is his mental makeup? And in every trade that I made, it's like, okay, not can he play in the NBA, not how many points. Can this guy perform under pressure? If we in a pressure situation, can he follow the game plan? Can he execute? And can we win the championship with him? And if you look at all the players that I've drafted and some of the players that I've traded for, they're either in the Hall of Fame right now, they've been named NBA All-Stars and have won championships or been Sixth Men of the Year. So on that team that we had in New York, we had six people off that team win NBA championships.
Mm-hmm.
Malik was on that team, won an NBA championship. David Lee won an NBA championship.
Eddie got one.
Channing Frye won an NBA championship. Eddie Curry was on the NBA championship team. Jamal was, you know, Sixth Man of the Year forever. The trophy will probably be named after him.
Sixth guard.
Wilson, as you said, is still playing. Everyone that we had.
Nate tied MJ's record in the playoffs for points in the quarter as the fourth string guy.
And we had all this talent, and everybody was so young and maturing and growing. Now, you know, the narrative in New York, and I don't know how this got started, where they say, well, you traded all the draft picks. No, I never traded any draft picks. As a matter of fact, one year I had three first-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back and you look at what I actually did, we forgot to name Trevor Ariza in terms of – and I'm sure there's somebody else that I missed, as a champion. So if there's somebody else that was on that team and I missed, I apologize.
Mm.
But there's only the trade that I still think today is so misunderstood. People, you know, have wrote so fictitiously just bad about was the Eddie Curry trade. I mean, the Eddie Curry trade to me was Eddie Curry and Wilson Chandler for Tyrus Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyrus Thomas at that time was, I think he was the second pick in the draft. And I looked at Tyrus, and no offense to Tyrus, but I just said, look, I got David Lee and I got Channing Frye. So I'm good. I'm good at the power forward spot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need another power forward. And the three power forwards at that time that were coming out was Aldridge, Tyrus Thomas, and Joakim Noah. When I looked at Channing and David, I said, okay, these two guys are capable, in my opinion, and this was my criteria. My criteria is, can you win a championship?
Right.
Not can you play in the NBA and score some points and make some money. Can you win a championship? I looked at David Lee and I looked at Channing Frye and I said, these two guys can play on championship teams and win. So I'm good with them, right? And I think when you look back, and history has proven us correct, that Wilson Chandler, Eddie Curry for Tyrus Thomas was a damn good trade.
I'm not mad at that at all.
You remember this, our first preseason game. It was either our first or our second preseason game. You was coaching the Indiana Pacers.
Ooh, we had a whip in Indiana.
And
if Bird wouldn't have fired me, I still say today, I would have won a championship with that team.
Great team. That's one of my favorite teams too. But
I know what he's about to talk about.
We played at Indiana State. And my first dunk on somebody was against Jermaine O'Neal in Indiana State. And I dunked on him, like, body to body, tangled up with him. And I yelled.
Oh, 185 pounds.
It wasn't a yell. It wasn't a man scream. It wasn't a man yell. It was a little scream because my voice was still squeaky.
Right.
But I remember after I dunked on him, it was like an and one. And this is my first time, like, even being around. I'm like, man, Isaiah over there, coach. And he shook my hand after I dunked on him.
J.O. gave him a five.
And all I can hear you saying, don't shake his motherfucking hand. Why is you shaking his hand? And that's all I can hear you say.
He just dunked on you.
And I was like, Man, did you hear that? We talk about it after the game, but that was my first dunk in the NBA in preseason. I remember playing against y'all. And I dunked. You said I was so hyped about that.
I tell a similar story there, right? So Zeke is my coach, right? I literally just told this story to Ro and them in the studio right. the other day. Kev and all of them, we studied there. So this we playing in New York. We playing against the New Jersey Nets, right? This one they got J. Kidd, RJ, Collins, and that whole group, right?